Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated, please. Be seated. Brother Young has been a friend for many, many years. You are certainly privileged and honored to have a man like this in place of leadership here. And I love him an awful lot. He's been a good friend to me, and I thank the Lord for him. And his influence goes far and wide. And I thought about the best thing that I could do to honor him today and to try to add more to his prestige. And I could think of nothing that I could do better as a United States Marine to make him an honorary Marine. And I have here Dr. Ray Young, honorary Marine. Thank you for all you do for the cause of Christ. God bless you. Thank you. I love you. God bless you all. I outrank you. I outrank you. Thank you. Be seated. Be seated. My time is limited. I'm thankful to be here today. Wonderful to have this opportunity. I was first invited to speak in chapel many, many years ago, and your pastor, the pastor, was Dr. Jack Hiles. And I thank God that he was a good friend of mine, and I did my best to be a good friend to him and loved him and appreciated him so very much. And now today you have the privilege of having Dr. Wilkerson. And what a privilege that is that you have to have him as your pastor and the staff that's working here. And I love them. Let me admit, where, Rena, are you here? Yeah, I see her. I see her. God bless you. Last time I talked to you, you told me that you ran most of the things around here. Is that still true? But thank you so much. And it's good to have Brother Bart Spencer with me, such a good friend. I've been with him now for several years in a row in missions conferences. I do serve the Lord, Dottie and I do, in missionary work to the military. It is a real mission work. There are about 90,000 of them overseas, some of them with their families. Some of them are right at the jumping off place to go to war, to go to battle. And in spite of the fact that the Afghanistan war has quit, however, there is still a terrible situation there. Americans are still dying. On a flight that I was on recently, the flight that came in had carried the body of a fallen soldier who had died in a combat zone. Our military, they are stationed in 90 different countries around the world. There is a great, great need. They're in a place of great danger, and then they have some dangers that are inherent with the life that they live. There are deaths in training. There is divorce, I'm sad to say. There is suicide, alcoholism, drug addiction. They need somebody that loves them. They need somebody that's got a Bible and will go to them and win them to the Lord and love them and stand by that wife when that husband's gone to war, or stand by that husband when that wife has gone to war, which I know something about. And please pray for our United States military. And maybe you're here today and you say, I know God's called me to serve Him, but I don't know where. Come and meet with us after lunch. And who knows, God may begin to speak to you. Oh, I'll tell you what. If I could be a missionary 100 times over, knowing what I know now, the fruit that I have seen and the families and the blessings that go along with it, if I had to do it 100 times, I would do it with the United States military. Not to mention the fact that when you serve in a foreign country like I did, you have the opportunity to win hundreds and hundreds of nationals to the Lord, along with other nationalities other than your host nationality. But I've said enough about that. But do come and be with us, even though you may know exactly where you're going. Maybe I'll say something that'll help you along the way. And I invite you to come. I have some material that I'll give you that I think will be a blessing to you. Oh, my time is getting away. Let's see. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I preached a message last night. And, of course, there isn't anybody that can preach like Dr. Howells preached. But I preached a message last night that I heard from the same text Dr. Howells preached from, and I adapted it for my own and was quick to tell people that I knew that had heard Dr. Howells preach the message, "Lose Yourself." And I preached a message from that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 10 last night. And this is, you can't trace this one back to anybody. This is something that God has put on my heart just from reading my Bible. And it's been a blessing to me. Stand, if you will, in honor of the reading of God's Word. And I'll begin with verse 1. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our King, our wonderful, wonderful Savior. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now pray with me, will you, and pray for me. Heavenly Father, help me today. Lord, you know how long I've been preaching. You're the one that called me. And Lord, I have preached without fear of the people. But Lord, when I stand before a great, great, wonderful group of people like this, I'm fearful. I'm fearful that I might say the wrong thing or that I might not say the right thing with enough emphasis or power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, please help me today. You know who I am, and you know how much help I need. I thank you, oh God, for this great, wonderful school. I thank you that both of my children benefited from this wonderful school. I thank you, dear God, that over the years I have had the privilege of sending numbers of people here. I thank you, dear God, for dear friends that are still here on staff now. I praise you for Brother Young and the rest here. God bless them. Bless each of these students. And Lord, may I say something that will help to guide them. And Lord, help me to be aware of my time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Dottie and I, my wife and I, and you know, if you meet her, don't you dare call her Dottie. You know, I started a church in South Carolina where Mrs. Fish was. And there was a young guy, and he was full of himself. And he called one day, and my wife picked up the phone, and he said, "May I speak to Tom?" Or probably said, "Let me speak to Tom." And Mrs. Lancaster said, "There is no Tom that lives here, thank you." And she hung up. And he called back again in just a minute, and he said, "Well, somehow or another, we got disconnected, or I got the wrong number." And he said, "Could I speak to Tom?" And Ms. Lancaster said, "Tom doesn't live here." She said, "Brother Lancaster lives here. Pastor Lancaster lives here. And even Dr. Lancaster lives here. But Tom doesn't live here with somebody your age. And you're not going to get through to him through me unless you direct your request properly." So anyway, I don't know why. Some of you looked at me wrong or something, and I had to say something about that. But when Dottie and I, she's my Dottie. And when Dottie and I were in Germany, we had a path that we walked. When we wanted to do a little bit of exercise or just when we wanted to spend some time together out in a field someplace, we went through the vineyards, and we could see them growing their grape vineyards. And oh, it was so interesting. Now, that's what we have before us in this passage of Scripture. And the Word of God says that Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. And my Father is the husbandman." Notice, if you will, a very important statement that is made. Every branch in me. Now, what I want to do today is talk about relationships. And I want to talk about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many relationships. Creator and creation. We did not evolve. God made us. He formed us. He made us. He breathed life into us. We are His creation. And then there is that relationship of sovereign. He is sovereign over all. Now, some of you, and as soon as you get over it, you'll be better off. But some of you think that you're running it. You think that you might have everything together in your own life, that you might have all of your plans laid out. But He really is sovereign, and we are His subjects. We are to be obedient to Him. He is Savior. And we have been sinners without a Savior. Oh, yes, regrettably, I still do sin. I want to get past that, and I will. And it's going to be sooner than later. It's not going to be too long before I'll see Him face to face. But He is Savior. I met Him as my Savior. I met Him on May the 15th, 1963, somewhere between 8:15 and 8:30, just outside of the back gate of Camp Lejeune, two men walked into our little trailer home, and they were very nice, and then one of them said, "Tommy, may I ask you this question? If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven?" Now, I would normally have sloughed it off or lied outright, but I said, "No, I would not go to heaven." He said, "Do you have about 6 or 7 minutes so I can show you from the Bible how you can be born again?" And you know, there are a lot of terms for it: born again, saved, converted, but He's the Savior. And I am the one who got saved. And here's the way the Bible puts it. I was put in Christ. And Christ was put in me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. May the 15th, 1963. Here I am. Mother committed suicide. Daddy was a drunkard. I almost killed a man because I hated him. Drunk all the time. In jail of November 1962. But on May the 15th, 1963, somebody came to this center with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been walking that path now for 60-something years. And everybody said, oh, he'll never amount to anything. And I don't. I don't amount to anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But here I am. Woo! I'm here standing in this pulpit. And because God saves sinners, I'm preaching the word of God to you precious people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then not only is he Savior, but he's sanctifier. He'll teach us how to live. He'll give us the strength to live. He's master, and we are subject, or we are those who will be disciples and learn. There's another one that I'll bring to your attention in just a moment. But look further, if you will, with me in this passage of Scripture, verse 2. Every branch in me. Aren't you glad you're in Christ? That's poor. That's poor. Aren't you glad you're in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not, that can happen today. I'm talking about something that's real. I'm not talking about religion. I hate religion. I hate it with a passion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I tell you this, as much as I love this institution called Hiles Anderson College, as much as I love your church, none of that will make it certain for you that you'll get saved. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, you're going to see some statements that sound like, and some people teach it, that you can lose your salvation. It isn't there, and they're not right. The Bible's given to us, the Lord's given to us eternal life. We shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. God has given us eternal life. Some old boy says, I tell you what, my cousin, he got saved. But, oh, I guess it was 15 or 16 years later, he lost it and he's going to hell. He didn't get eternal life. He got 15 or 16 year life. The Lord promised eternal life. And so none of the statements that I'm going to read have anything to do with losing your salvation. One great preacher said that a parable is like a window. And that window lets light in to shine on the truth. And the truth in this passage of Scripture is our marvelous relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these portions of parables are windows to let us look into that truth. Look further, if you will, please, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If you and I are going to bear fruit, and we should bear fruit, and we ought to bear more fruit, and we ought to bear much fruit, if we're going to do that, there are some conditions. And one of those conditions is that we be clean. Are you a clean Christian? Are you? Are you clean in your deeds? Deeds done, deeds that are undone, things that you shouldn't do, things that you should do. Are you clean? Are you clean in your mind? Are you clean in your attitude? Are you clean in your heart? The Lord says, here's what I want. I want a branch I want a branch that's clean. Are you clean? I can remember going through those vineyards, and I would see those farmers, and they had their clippers, and they were taking hold of the vine and the branches, and they were clipping off the impurities. And God wants to clean us up. I've started confessing this recently. I've never said a whole lot about it. But when I got saved, my mind was a cesspool. And I won't go into all the reasons. There were reasons that it was. And I had just gotten married to my sweetheart. She married me. She was a Christian. She knew that she should not have married an unsaved man. But she fell in love with me. I understand why she married me, knowing me as I am. I mean, she fell in love with me. And I said to myself, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good husband. I want her to love me, and I want to love her like I should. But, oh, my mind was so messed up. And I went to my pastor, and it's always good to go to your pastor, amen, and ask him some questions. The Bible is the final authority. But I was glad to go to my pastor, and I told him, I said, Preacher, I said, I've quit my drinking, and I've quit my smoking, and I hope by God's grace I'll never cuss again. But my mind is just eaten up from my past. And I never will forget what he did. He pulled open the drawer of his desk and pulled out a stack of cards. Looked like overgrown business cards. And he handed them to me. And he said, take these, Tommy, and begin memorizing those verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And in this passage of Scripture, now then ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And he said, Tommy, start memorizing those. And he told me where I ought to start reading in the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. He said, read 1 John through 5 times. It'll help you with your assurance. And he said, when you get through with that, read the Gospel of John through. You'll fall in love with Jesus, learn more about him. And when you finish with that, start with Matthew and read through the whole New Testament. Well, I learned that the Word of God was the instrument that God uses to clean us up. Let me ask you this, student. Are you in his book just because it's a love letter to you? Or do you study it just in order to get ready for your test? No, you need to be in this book. You need to be in the Word of God. When I spent 2 tours of duty overseas, Mrs. Lancaster would write me. And the lieutenant or maybe the first sergeant would come to the parade ground and say, all right, gather around, men. And then he would say, mail call. Oh, there was the possibility that I was going to get a letter from home and a letter from my sweetheart. It's from home. It's from the most precious person that you'll ever know. Are you a person of the Word? The Word of God will help you establish your relationship. Notice, if you will, in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleans it. He snips away the impurities that it may bring forth more fruit. See, we're to go from fruit to more fruit. Do you know that the most natural time, the most natural time for somebody to begin trying to win people to the Lord, the most natural time is when they first get saved. That's it. I mean, let me ask you this. When you got saved, did you just get out of the chute trying to win people to the Lord? Telling others about Christ? When is the last time, maybe with a tear in your eye and a burden in your heart, you've opened up your big mouth and you've told somebody how to get saved? When's the last time you've done that? Now, here's the way the Bible says it will happen. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again, bearing his sheaves with him. Do you bear fruit? Do you? God didn't leave you here to decorate the place. God's got sun and moon and stars and galaxies and rivers and oceans to do that. He didn't leave you here to decorate the place. He left you here to bear fruit. That's what this institution has been built on. Bearing fruit. That's what the Great Commission is. Those of you that aspire to go to a foreign field, it's to reach precious souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible does say that the fruit of the righteous is a tree. Every once in a while, you'll run across somebody and win them to the Lord, and they'll just be like a tree. They'll bear fruit all over the place. Look, if you will, please, at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, there's a wonderful relationship with the Lord, a relationship of abiding. Do you abide in the Lord? There's probably somebody, maybe a few somebodies, that a few years from now, you're going to be out in the world living for the devil. But here you are today enrolled in a great institute that promotes the cause of Christ and honors and raises up the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens with those people that are in, but then they are out? They're not abiding. Unbroken fellowship. Hey, did you know something? When you go to your dorm at night tonight, the Lord's going to go with you. When you go home to spend some time back at your home church and back with your parents and your friends, the Lord's going to go with you. Did you know that there is a phenomenal thing that happens in a crowd of people? Somebody that is right on the borderline, you know, between really getting in and staying in, or being in but possibly getting out. Did you know something? There is some kind of, radar mechanism that will get them together with the same kind of person. Did you know that in this crowd of people, in this crowd of people, there's somebody that'll help you get out of the will of God? In this wonderful, wonderful college, in this wonderful, wonderful church, there is somebody that'll help you get out of the will of God. But may I say, you know, here's the Lancaster explanation for friend. Are you ready? Oh, you need to write it down. It's going to be one of these days in a dictionary. You know what a friend is? A friend is somebody that will help you live for God. That's what a friend is. It's somebody that will help you live for God. And so he says, abide in me, because I want you to bear much, much fruit. Look, if you will, at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Notice that last statement. For without me, ye can do nothing. How much can you do without Christ? Nothing. Nothing. I'm glad I learned 63 years ago, freshly married, Tommy, you're not going to make it without the Lord. And then God gave us two children. Both of those children have attended college here. God gave us two children. And the Lord said, Tommy, if you want to raise those kids where they won't end up like you ended up, you're going to have my help. Whew. And then pastoring a church. Brother Young, me pastoring a church, serving God, opening the book, people before me. Whew. No way in the world I could do it. Oh, yeah, I could do it off of ego, and it would fall flat as could be. But if it's going to be done honoring the Lord and with some fruit, it was going to have to be the Lord. Oh, let me go to the final relationship because my time is quickly going. Notice this. Skip down to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. In other words, get in, abide, pray, get clean through the word. And this is in my commandment, that you love one another. I hated the man that beat my mother up the day that she committed suicide. And I almost killed him. I mean that literally. I almost killed him. I beat him almost half to death and then finally pulled a gun on him and was getting ready to shoot him if somebody had not intervened and pulled me off of him. This is a commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now listen to this. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Obey me. Let me just ask you this before I read another statement and then get close to quitting. Are you in Christ? Saved? Born again? Is there evidence of it in your own life? Are you in Christ? Have you been born again? Is he your teacher and you listen to him and obey him? Or is he your teacher? Is he the master and you are the disciple? Relationship. Is he life and you are the source of, and you are the recipient of all life? He's the source of life, eternal life, abundant life. Are you the recipient of that life? Now, let me just cut to the chase and get to the fight. Are you a friend of the Lord? Is he your friend? Is he your friend? Do you treat him like a friend? Like a beloved friend? I'll say this. Brother Young has been my friend ever since those days in Memphis. That would be 30 plus years ago. It wasn't too long ago because of my ignorance. Just dumb. I'm a dumb man. I thought I had hurt his feelings. I thought I had. I couldn't sleep. I had to get a hold of him. And I finally did. And if you don't need to ask him anything about it. But I got him on the phone and I cried like a baby. And he told me, he said, Brother Lincoln, you didn't do anything to offend me. But I thought I had. I thought I had. You know why? I treasure his friendship. I treasure it. Oh, let me ask you this. Are you a friend of the Lord's? Now, here's, and I won't take the time to read the verse, but read it yourself. You know one of the things that happens when you become a friend of the Lord's? When you act like a friend, obeying, loving, constantly abide with him, listen to his word. You know one of the things that happens when you cross over that line and become a friend? Woo! He'll tell you things that are not exactly in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, we ought to obey Him and we ought to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. God wants to speak to you. How many of you are single adults? Single adults, raise your hand. Single adults. You know what's going to happen to some of you? Some of you are going to get married. Some of you. Now, I can meet some of you guys, and I could probably come away and say, I ain't never going to get married. But some of you are going to get married. Wouldn't it be great to marry the right person? Listen to me. Her name is probably not in the book. Probably not in the book. But do you know what? Almighty God wants to lead you exactly to the right person. Almighty God wants to put you exactly in the place that you are to serve. Almighty God wants to answer those questions that you cannot find. You can find the principle, but it's only the Holy Spirit of God that can lead you beyond that. And that'll come when you become a friend of the Lord. And He'll tell you things that He doesn't tell to other people. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, help us. Help us, oh God. God, speak to us. If you need to get in Christ, come. If you need to pursue that course of becoming a friend of the Lord, get up and head this way. Get up right now. I want to be a friend of the Lord. I want Him to be my friend and I want to be His. Come. Come if you will, please. Brother Young, thank you so much, my dear brother.